Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
Well, good morning. Isn't the Lord wonderful? It's great to be with you here this morning at Central. I just want to say many thanks to Pastor Steve for this opportunity to share about missions, to share about Cambodia. Just before you step out the door, I've got a little table set up here with some of our prayer cards with our family. Take one, two, three, however many you need. Keep us in prayer while we're here in America, traveling, raising our next budget, and then as we go back to Cambodia next summer to jump into Southeast Asia all over again. Well, just to give you a little bit of background before we look to the Word this morning, our family's been serving, living in Cambodia since 2010, and so 2010 we got things ready. Our little girl Emma was two at the time, made the 30-hour trip, hopped from here to there to there to there, here to back and forth, and made it to Cambodia. As Pastor Steve said, really, literally, it is about halfway on the other side of the world. It's 12 time zones away. But we got to Cambodia in 2010 and jumped into learning the culture, learning the Khmer language, and then starting to preach and teach in that, and then working with discipleship groups, youth groups, and just experiencing life so that we could get deep roots and then come back again. And I was just kind of reminiscing in my head as Pastor Steve was introducing me, just thinking back for our first term and our second term, and now here we are. Our first term from 2010 to 2013, some fun experiences. And I remember once we were living out in the countryside in the provinces of Cambodia, and we had this fun house that was surrounded by rice fields. And being hot all the time, being tropical all the time, you don't have a season where things just kind of die off. I know a lot of people don't like the critters and the creatures, and thankfully when we get in the wintertime, things go into hiding or die off for a while. That doesn't happen in Cambodia. It's always hot. And I remember the house where we were living there, we get these spiders, and they're kind of like a wolf spider, but they were so big that you could just hear them run across the floor of our house. And then, of course, snakes never go into hibernation in Cambodia. In fact, they find you in Cambodia. They come all over the place. And so one time we found a poisonous snake in Emma's bedroom, I remember, in our house there. And then I was thinking also, as we're getting into the colder months, starting to get cooler. This is freezing cold for us, but I'm going to really have to bundle up with two coats in a few months. But thinking of how we were going through the cooler months in Cambodia, and rats kept getting into the house and chewing through the electrical wiring and all the power outages we'd have from rats. And we were back in America for a short time after that it all happened. And one time we were at our house and the power started going off and on. And Emma got so scared and she said, "Dad, those rats, they're back again, aren't they? It's the rats from all the rats that we would encounter." But it was a fun first term, learning the culture, learning the language, just falling in love with everything. And then going back to Cambodia for our second term, 2014 until 2018. When we got back on the ground in 2014, a friend of mine said, "Josh, can you go out with me to the provinces? We're visiting some pastors and we're talking about some new discipleship ministries that we have. Can you go out with me?" And I just got back on the ground. And I said, "Yes, I'll go with you." So we made our way through the dirty, dusty roads of Tagayo Province, and we get there and we sit down with the pastors, and they bring me a plate for lunch. And on this plate, in the Khmer language, what we call bai so srong jiang nang sramout jiang, which translates to white rice with fried wasps and fried ants. And at that point, I knew I was back in Cambodia again, all the experiences and all the fun. And now, here we are fast-forwarding all the way to 2018, reintroducing our kids to life in America. Our kids are now 10 and 5. And so bringing them up on the cuisine of America and taking them to these strange and exotic places, places like Cracker Barrel and IHOP and their personal favorite where we eat about every week, Taco Bell, and just experiencing all these fun things. But, you know, in the midst of everything, we're thankful that God has been faithful, helping us through all of the journey. And it's just great to be with you here this morning at Central and to share about missions. Well, if you have your Bible, would you please turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. If you have a tree version of the Bible or if you have an electronic version, whatever you have, we'll be looking at John chapter 10, verse 10. It's a familiar passage where Jesus gives one of his I am declarations, when he declares that I am the good shepherd. But right before Jesus makes that declaration, he says something else that has always fascinated me about the work and agenda of the enemy, and then also the work and agenda of why Jesus Christ came to this earth. If you'll look with me at John chapter 10, verse 10, the Word of God says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for your Word. We know that your Word is living. It is active. It is powerful. In these moments, we just pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would challenge us. We pray that you would convict us. And Lord, this time that we have in your presence, as we hear your Word, we pray that you would help us to be doers of your Word, to go out from this place, putting your Word into practice and sharing your Word with others. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Looking at this passage here, really a dichotomy of thinking of the work of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, but also the work of Christ of why he came to give life. I'm sure there are some of you who remember how Cambodia came on the international scene back in the 1960s and 1970s. Everything going on with the Vietnam War and how that spilled over into Cambodia. And as America was leaving Southeast Asia in 1975, at that same time, there was an overthrow of the government in Cambodia led by a group known as the Khmer Rouge. This was a radical communist group that took over, began a systematic genocide, and ultimately killed over 2 million of their own people in just over 3 years. Guys, if you would show the first picture for us, please. This place here is called Chung Aik. It doesn't look like much. You might think it looks somewhat peaceful or even tranquil. But folks, this is one of the many places known as the killing fields, where you can see what looks like bomb craters were actually graves that have been unearthed. The bones have been put in collective places. At this one site here, they estimate about 20,000 people were killed, were shown no mercy. Places like this all over Cambodia. And it reminds me that the enemy has an agenda to steal, to kill, and destroy. And it's something that the fallout effect has continued throughout the decades in Cambodia up to the present age where we are now. I remember a few years ago we were living in northwest Cambodia in a place called Siem Reap. We were living there and had a good ministry with some young people and discipleship groups. And they had some neat market areas that you could go, and lots of marketplaces would be open in the evenings. The marketplaces would close. And in these marketplaces, you have not very much room, so people would build these houses and stack them in just one after the next, these tall houses, generally two stories, but very narrow. And this one Saturday night in one of the market areas in Siem Reap, there was a fire that started in one of these houses. It started on the lower level. The lower level was usually used for buying and selling. That was the marketplace. And then the top level was the dwelling area where the family would reside. But this one Saturday night, a fire started in a lower level of one of these houses. The neighbors all really quickly realized what was happening, so they all ran out in the street. Someone proceeded to call the fire department to arrive. But as they're assessing the situation, this one house, the lower level, they realized on the top level there was a family of seven that was trapped, with three adults and four children. And as the firemen arrived on the scene, the neighbors quickly ran out to tell their side of the story. And they explained to the firemen, "You can see how the fire is in this one particular house, but you can also see the proximity with our houses and our market areas close to this house. So here's what we want you to do. As you get your hoses ready, we don't want you to spray on that fire itself, but we want you to spray off to the side to protect our own property, protect our marketplaces, so this fire doesn't spread." And to seal the transaction, the neighbors all began to take money out. They began to bribe the firemen, and just as quickly as they handed it out, the firemen took the money, they got their hoses ready, and they did as they were instructed, not spraying on the fire itself with the family trapped, but spraying on the outsides of the other buildings so those buildings would be fine, and ultimately the family of seven perished. 3 adults and 4 children. And everyone walked away from that fire, saying, "We did what was necessary for us, and karma dictated that that family of seven should perish. We took care of ourselves. Everyone else, it does not matter." Folks, the enemy has an agenda in this world to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so many times it has me thinking to myself, what can we do to make a difference in a worldview and a mindset with something like this? Whether you're at the killing fields in Cambodia, or you're so buried under corruption and dishonesty that you feel like you can't even get your head above to taste the breath of freedom again, what do we do that can make a difference in this world? Because the enemy has an agenda. But I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus doesn't stop right there. Even though he clearly says the enemy has come to steal and kill and destroy, I'm thankful that he goes on to share why he has come. When Jesus says, "But I have come that they may have life and have real life, full life, abundant life because of who Jesus is." How many are thankful for life in Jesus Christ? For who he is as Lord, as Savior. Regardless of what the enemy is doing, Christ came to give life, real life, to people. Now in Cambodia, there have been different strategies on the best way to do ministry, the best way to do missions. Some would say, you know, we need to focus on the social aspect, you know, with poverty and injustice. We need to address those needs, and that's true to a degree. Some would say, you know, we need to focus on the political side and be on the good side of the government so that regardless of what happens in politics, we're in with the right party, and that's true to a certain degree. But what we found to be most effective is simply investing into the lives of people, reminding them of the life that they have in Jesus Christ, their God-given purpose, their gifts, their abilities because of life in Christ, reminding them of that, and then launching them out and sending them to go to places that have never been reached with the gospel. That's what we found to be the most effective. And this morning I just want to share with you a story about one of our students at our Bible school where we serve, her background, her life in Christ, and now how she is making a difference in Cambodia, a young girl by the name of Tira. And guys, if you would put up her picture for us, please. This is Tira. She grew up in Kampong Cham province, which is about 2.5 hours north of where we live in the capital city of Phnom Penh. Tira grew up in a traditional Buddhist family. Parents were rice farmers. They didn't have much, just surviving from day to day. When her family was going through trials and troubles, they would try to find their answers at the Buddhist temple, making offerings, giving to the Buddhist monks, going through life like this, trying to find merit, good merit, to cover over the bad aspects of life. But when she was 17, her family was hit with a tragedy. Her 19-year-old sister came down with this strange and mysterious virus, this illness. They didn't know what it was. So they went from one Buddhist temple to the next, to the next, to the next, trying to receive blessing and merit, hopefully healing the daughter, but none of it worked. And ultimately, Tira and her parents thought, none of this is working, and she's going to die. They'd come to that reality. Well, as the word began to spread through the village and the next village and the next village, people were very concerned because they began to think not of the daughter, but they began to think, how is this going to affect all of us? Is this some kind of radical, massive disease that's just going to wipe out villages? They began to worry, so word began to spread. People telling the next village and the next village, there's this one girl, be careful, there might be this virus that spreads and that you might die. Well, as word was spreading, word reached the ears of a missionary in a distant place. And he heard about Tira's family, and he heard about this village. And the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, I want you to go to this village. I want you to go there and pray for this sick girl. The interesting thing about Tiras village and the surrounding area was this. That whole region had never been reached, and there was not one single Christian there. No gospel witness, no Bibles, no churches. The people in those villages had never even seen a Christian. But the Lord spoke to this missionary, and he went. He traveled along the dirty, dusty roads of Kampong Cham province. He made his way there. He found the village, and he began to ask people, can you tell me about this sick girl? And of course, everyone knew who it was. They said, yes, if you just go down this one trail, you'll find her, you'll find the house, you'll find the family. So he made his way down the trail. By this point, he was drawing a crowd. People are wondering what he's going to do, following him. He got to the house, introduced himself to the parents, and he said, I'm a missionary. He was actually from South Korea, and he said, the Lord God spoke to me to come here because you have a sick daughter, and I want to pray for her. Is that okay? And the parents said, well, we've tried everything else. Please come on in. So he goes inside, he looks over to the side, and he sees a cot. Laying on this cot is the sick girl, really at the door of death, and kneeling down next to her was Tira, weeping and sobbing, knowing it was just a matter of time before her sister would die. The missionary went over very quietly. He laid his hand on the sick girl and began to pray. A very quick prayer, and at the end of the prayer, he said something Tira had never heard. In the Khmer language, Ganong Pre Niam Pre Yesukri. In the name of Jesus, be healed and receive your health. The man got up from there. He thanked the parents. He left. Just a few days later, the sick girl started to get better and better and better. And within 2 weeks, she was completely healed, raised up by the power of God. Now, everyone saw this. Everyone was beginning to wonder, how did this happen? Well, being all the Buddhist villagers that they were, they began to realize, well, maybe it was at this Buddhist temple or this Buddhist temple or this place that we went. Everyone began to try to put together the answer except for Tira. Because she remembered when that man knelt down and prayed in the name of Jesus, something happened. She saw something happen in her sick sister, but also she felt something happen in her heart. So Tira began to do something. She began to go from place to place and ask everyone, have you heard about my sister? Of course they had, and she said, let me tell you how she is better. It was in the name of Jesus Christ. And she had no idea what she was doing, but began to go from place to place, village to village, declaring healing in the name of Jesus. Well, the villagers were mad. Her parents were very mad. They kicked her out of the house. They wanted nothing to do with her. As she traveled from place to place, she actually came upon a church in a distant village. She told them the story. The parents and the head of the house and the pastor and his wife, they took her in, began to disciple her. She gave her heart to the Lord, and she realized there's a purpose in life. She realized, now I have life, this real life in Jesus that I'd never had before for 17 years, but now I realize there's a purpose, and I want to tell others about life in Christ. Well, her pastor said, I think you should go to Bible school because God seems to be doing something in your life. So Tira came to our Bible school. She began to enroll in our classes and study for ministry. But before she started her classes, when she came to meet with the staff, to be honest, our staff, they weren't very impressed the first time they met Tira. As they began to talk to her, they saw that she was very shy and very timid, and whenever you would ask her questions, she would just kind of curl up and face would turn red and even to the point of tears. So we began to ask some questions, because we were wondering why Tira had come to us. So we asked Tira, where are you from? And she said, I'm from Kampong Cham province. And we said, how long have you been a Christian? And she said, I've been a Christian now for 2 years. And then we asked the big question, why do you think you should study at Bible school? Why do you think God is directing you in this path? And she said, I think God has given me the gift of evangelism, to share about life in Jesus Christ with others. And then we asked another question. Tira, have you ever led someone to faith in Jesus Christ? She kind of shrugged her shoulders and said, yeah, I've done that. And we said, well, how many? And she said, well, only about 50. And in 2 years, this little girl coming from a village, no concept of the gospel, God getting a hold of her heart, God putting her into action, sharing her faith, in 2 years she led 50 people to Christ. I became embarrassed. I thought, how many of us in 10 years have led 10 people to Christ, let alone 50 in 2 years? And we saw Tira fit in and begin to flourish and just take off in Bible school. It's something we do in our school. We're very proactive. We have our students engaged in classes Monday through Friday, but we make sure they go back to their home place of ministry on Saturday and Sunday so they can be active in youth ministry, children's ministry, preaching, whatever they're doing. And when they come back, we have them fill out a ministry report. Pastor Steve can remember the Christian service reports, how we had to fill those out at CBC. We have something similar to that, but we also have our students kind of write a little bit about what they've been doing, to be specific. Most of our students will write, you know, one or two lines. This is a prayer request, praise testimony, something like that. Well, as we started collecting our reports that specific semester, we realized there was one student who was writing 2 and 3 and 4 pages about ministry opportunities. We began to dig through these and read, what is going on that someone would write all this about ministry and life in this place? What is happening? And it was Tira. Because she had started to explain about villages and places that had never been reached with the gospel. And week after week, she was the one going to take the gospel, to share and testify about life in Jesus Christ. Whereas before, in 2 years, she led 50 to the Lord. I don't even know how many she'd be led in the next 2 years of going to these distant, remote places that no one else would go. But she knew that she was a girl on a mission because God had put a purpose in her heart to testify about life, abundant life in Jesus Christ. Guys, if you'll show the last picture for us, please. This was just a little over a year ago, June of 2017. We had 20 students that graduated that year, so here are just a few of them. And Tira's in the front, in the middle there. And I always like to think of how graduation is so fun. It's such a celebration. And everyone's smiling except for Tira. You can see how she's a girl of purpose. She's very focused, very driven. For her, she's always about going to the next place, reaching the next village, taking the gospel to where it's never been taken before. And we look back on that day of graduation, and I began to think about the times that I had Tira in class, remembering just seeing how God was doing something in her life and how she was going out and reaching places never been reached before. And I think of when I had her in the class for the book of Acts. And one day in class, we were talking about missions, and I just asked the students, guys, if you could go somewhere in the world, where would you go? Anywhere in the world, where would you like to go on missions? We've been talking about it. I just want to hear from your hearts. Well, the students are just now becoming more in tune with the global scene, and so some would say, well, I've seen pictures of Africa or of India or China or Indonesia, these places. You know, they begin to name some places and talk about some different regions. And I asked Tira, where would you go if you could go anywhere? She named a place. And I said, can you say that again? Where is that place? And she said it again. And I said, you'll have to explain this place to me. I've never heard it. And she just smiled really big. I've never seen her smile this big. And she said, well, it's a place not far from my hometown, my home village. And I said, Tira, if you could go anywhere in the world, why would you go just a few miles away? And she said, because there are some villages where I know no one is going, but I want to be the one. Because the life of Jesus Christ in me, it's changed me. It's transformed me. And those villages, they need it too. I don't want to go far away. I want to go nearby and reach my own people. Because Cambodia needs this. Not the distant places, but the close places. The places that have never been reached. And folks, I think when we get a hold of what Christ is saying, when he came to give abundant life, real, full life, doesn't mean that we always have to cross the ocean. Many times it's just crossing the street. It's being where we are, who we are, the place where God has put us with those gifts, those talents, so that we can testify. Let me tell you about the life I have in Jesus Christ. That's what the church is about. That's what ministry is about. That's what life is about. about testifying that we have this life in Christ and then doing something with it and going out and making a difference, just like Tira, just like the others are doing. You might have come in this place today just thinking, you know, church is comfortable, it's happy, and it's content. But I want you to remember, the enemy has an agenda. His agenda in this world is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ has come to give life, and He uses us. The humble thought that He uses people like us to get a hold of that life and to take it out and share it with others, that's what we do. For us in Cambodia, for you guys here in the Kansas City area, it's about His life and taking that life out. And maybe this morning you're here and you've never accepted life in Jesus Christ. You're in the right place. Receiving life from the Savior, it will transform you. But it will do something else. It will put your heart in ignition to go out and tell others and reach others that have never been reached and let them know your own personal story about life in the Savior. That's what we do in life. That's what we do in missions. That's what life in Jesus Christ is about. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me this morning? Lord, we thank You for what You are doing all around the world. Thank You for what You're doing in places like Cambodia. Lord, we thank You for living testimonies of people like Tira that, God, once they get a hold of life in Jesus Christ, they go out and tell others. And Lord, I just pray for Your blessing on this church. Lord, that You would use each person here, Lord, as they take hold of the life that You give, that real abundant life, that they would take it and they would go from place to place, in schools, in marketplaces, in their place of business, their occupation. Lord, we pray in these last days that You would use us more and more. I just pray, God, for this church, as they reach out to their community, the area around them, that, Lord, You would use them to testify about life in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we partner together in the Great Commission, help us, Lord, as we partner and labor together to see the gospel go farther and to see the kingdom of God advance, we just pray that You would bless the work of our hands. And we give You all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.